Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are now in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes. And what you're hearing in the background is a theme song that you're going to have to get used to. Mr. Marvin Gaye asking, what's going on? Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes, ladies and gentlemen, in and around the world. This morning, we are going down to Jamaica, and we are going to unravel some of Jamaica's secret. Is Jamaica on the siege, ladies and gentlemen? We want Jamaica to be given back to us with some form of integrity. Joining me this morning to have this conversation, he is no stranger to radio. He is a political commentator, and he's also a radio host speaking truth to power over there at 93 FM up by the University of the West Indies. His name is Mr. Conrad R. O'Brien, better known to Jamaicans as the Fireman. Good morning, Mr. O'Brien. How are you, sir?
Hi, my brother and friend, Ross Clem. Thanks a lot for your kind introduction there. How are you doing?
I am blessed this morning, sir, and I hope I find you in the same way. We woke up this morning, Conrad O'Brien. We're here, and we're blessed to be having this conversation this Saturday morning. And as always, the way I like to do this is, how is Jamaica?
Ross Clem, thanks a lot again. I am blessed, and I'm wishing and hoping that your listeners and viewers all across the globe, they're enjoying the best of health and so on and so forth. Jamaica, Rasfem, as I like to say, is the most beautiful, most picturesque place on earth, or certainly one up, you know, and in spite of the hurricane, the mountain still stands and the greenery still abounds. But certainly Jamaica is under siege.
Mm.
But Ralph Glenn, if I may, you know, be allowed,
mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say that we here in Jamaica, certainly myself as a political watcher, a broadcast journalist, someone who has to look at the news, look at the happenings globally, you know, certainly what is happening in the United States of America has not escaped us, because it forms a part of the fabric
mm-hmm.
of Jamaica, certainly. Mm-hmm. And as the saying goes, whenever the United States cough, Jamaica, and indeed lots of other parts of the world, catch a cold. So therefore, we are really looking at what is taking place within the both major political parties in the United States, the Democratic Party and indeed the Republic, and what's going on with the president there. Mm-hmm. We saw the debate. We all accept that he had performed poorly. Mm-hmm. However, from my vantage point, I want to give Joe Biden kudos for the way he picked himself up back and really on the hustling. That address that he gave last night to that political gathering there, mm-hmm. or that gathering there, was quite awesome. And for me, and based on a lot of Jamaica, what we're saying, we will prefer to stick with the center-right, the center-left party,
mm-hmm.
the Democrats, any day with a Biden that can hardly move and can hardly speak, than to go to a person who is convicted and indeed a criminal,
indeed.
And cannot even vote for himself in the form of Donald Trump.
Indeed, indeed. And well said. And I'm happy that, you know, you guys down there in Jamaica is paying close attention to what's going on in these United States. And yes, indeed, when America coughs, the rest of the world catches a cold. But when America sneezes, Jamaica catches the flu. or Jamaica even get COVID-19, because it seems as if, you know, it seems as if, and I know this for a fact, that Jamaica relies so much on the diaspora. Without the diaspora, I think Jamaica would go under, and that's for another conversation. But I'm happy that the team down there is paying close attention to what's taking place here in the United States. And yes, indeed, we will rather go for a old Joe than go for a man who clearly has put it out there in terms of what he wants to do. And he also said it, that he would like to be a dictator. And do we want to be living under a dictatorship? And the answer to that is no. So let's get to the point right now. This is Groovin' Radio. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, Sparking Global Changes, ladies and gentlemen. Around the world this morning, we are down in Jamaica with my good brother, my good friend, a broadcast journalist. He is a political commentator, speaking truth to power, ladies and gentlemen. He's the host of Straight Up Talk on 93 FM, Mr. Conrad O'Brien. The conversation this morning, yes, is Jamaica under siege? And the answer, as Mr. O'Brien will tell you, yes, Jamaica is under siege. But we want Jamaica back with integrity. So this morning, we're going to unravel some of the deadly sins of Jamaica. Let's first start this morning, though. Let's talk mm-hmm. about the passing of Hurricane Beryl. How was that for you?
All right. Roscoe, thanks again. The fact is that Hurricane Beryl have not hit us directly. Had we had a direct hit from Hurricane Beryl, certainly we probably would have seen a lot of deaths and so on and so forth. We have official numbers saying that we had about 3 deaths as a result. 3 or 2, I think it's 3 deaths from Hurricane Beryl here in Jamaica. A young man gave away his life rather foolishly. He was playing football and the ball fell in the water and he, jumped into the water. Certainly the current took him along with the ball. And there are 2 other persons that I gather. One, a tree fell on her house, and as a result of that, that causes death. And I think there's another older folk. I am not in a position as we speak right now to tell you what exactly happened there. But I think the official number that we get is about 3 deaths mm-hmm. in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what happened, Roscam, there are parts of Jamaica that did not get the brunt of the hurricane. You know, when you talk about some areas in Kingston and St. Andrew, although the road network have been devastated and so on all across, but in terms of the heavy wind mm-hmm. and so on that lift so many roofs and so on, there are areas that did not suffer that as much. But when you talk about the midsection of the island in Clarendon, such as southeastern Clarendon, up in the hills of northern Clarendon there, mm-hmm. get some hitting. In my parish of my birth, Manchester, certainly a lot of damage there, mm-hmm. especially in the south of Manchester, the Alligator Pond area. And indeed, that entire trajectory, trajectory going into northern St. Elizabeth, that is where the country suffered the hardest hit. As a matter of fact, the entire parish, or most of the parish, is still without electricity and the basic amenities mm-hmm. to keep them going. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, you know that they are dubbed as the food basket right. and so on. And everything has been devastated. As I said before, up in the hills of Clarendon, which is the areas like Bog Hole and, you know, to name one of the places there. But in the general northern belt of Clarendon, that's the vegetable belt where a lot of our vegetable is from. And we were already under quite a bit of siege, paying high prices and so on. Wow. And with this devastation, Roscoe, I can tell you that Jamaica is indeed under a under siege from that vantage point, and there are much more siege that we're under that I'm sure we'll get into
yes,
before
indeed.
We close the program.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And I just want to stay with the hurricane for a moment, you know. And I really want someone to come and challenge me on this one. You know, Jamaica is a God-blessed place in many ways. I want someone to tell me if Jamaica has ever been directly hit by a storm. Because it is, to my knowledge, what has protected Jamaica over the years is the Blue Mountain Peak. Every hurricane travels the same path as any slave ships. And when those hurricane comes around in the waters of Kingston, the Kingston Harbor, and head directly towards Jamaica, it get pushes out to sea by the backdrop of Blue Mountain Peak. This hurricane passed Jamaica somewhere about 40 to 50 miles out in the sea. And it was so devastating to the south coast. And as you said, if we were ever hit directly by Hurricane Beryl, when it was coming around, it was coming as a Category 5. When it passed Jamaica, as a Category 4. So we have to give thanks, because if the eye of the storms should travel over Jamaica, and this is where the insurance that the government said they have, this is where you see where that's why that insurance won't be paying out to Jamaica, because Jamaica would have to be hit directly at a certain force and at a certain vantage point for the insurance to be paid out. So we have to give thanks, you know, even though with the millions and millions of dollars in damages, we still have to give thanks, because we're in much better position than some other places. I remember when Hurricane Dean leveled part of Florida. And when I say leveled, took out everything in its path. God bless Jamaica. God bless Jamaica.
Absolutely, Rasclem. I think the closest, certainly in our lifetime, that we could talk about as a direct hit would be Hurricane Gilbert. And the jury is still out on that, whether we were hit. I think that's the closest one that we could.
It is the closest one. And Hurricane Gilbert had actually gone past Jamaica, lingered around, and says, you know what, I think I left something down in Jamaica. Let me backtrack a little and go down there and show them how powerful I could be, and kind of touch up Jamaica in a certain way. But it still wasn't that direct hit, where it came around off the Portland and St. Thomas coast and headed right into Jamaica. No, we didn't get that. No, let's move past that.
And but before you leave there, Rasta, because I want to just paint a picture. And certainly the various alumni, past students, association, and so need to touch base with their various schools.
Yes, indeed.
That's one of the biggie, Rasclem. A number of schools have been devastated. When you talk about, even for example, the Manning School down there.
Yes, Westmoreland.
In Westmoreland. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's a lot of devastation there. Monroe College.
Yes.
A number of schools are really under siege. And certainly from the Jamaica Teachers Association vantage point, and indeed the Principal Association and so on, they are now huddling down and questioning in a big way the likelihood of school being reopened in September.
Wow.
And it seems from a lot of, you know, based on the information that we're getting so far, it's not going to be in a state of readiness. We are already, before Hurricane Gilbert, Beryl, Rasclem, we have always had issue in terms of getting the requisite furniture in schools and so on for the new school term. So just paint a picture and imagine what will be the situation. And certainly as a result of that, the opening of school in September is certainly under question as we speak. But
indeed.
We hope for the best.
Definitely. Thank you for that update, sir. Now, Jamaica itself, as we speak, and I want to move into the integrity the integrity of our country. And when I say that now, let's talk about what's going on with the Integrity Commission. What is the situation here, Conrad O'Brien? Because the flip-flopping of all of this coming out of the Integrity Commission and the relationship with the government, and what is really going on there?
Roscoe and listeners, viewers, you know, there, Jamaica, as you so eloquently point out, Roscoe, Jamaica is indeed under siege. And the whole business of governance and government in Jamaica at this point in time under the leadership of Andrew Michael Radam Brogard Holness is certainly under siege. And the Integrity Commission, the whole integrity of the government of Jamaica, seems to be under really deep questioning this morning. As we speak, the Prime Minister himself, who is the chief servant, he's under siege, pardon me, because it's not 1 year, it's not 2 years, it's going 3, as a matter of fact, going into 4 now, and his filing cannot be certified by the Integrity Commission. The Integrity Commission actually said last week, this week, I think it was about Thursday or yesterday, a communique came out from the IC over the signature of its chairman, the Integrity Commission is a little bit reluctant. He'll use a stronger word, but it's a little bit reluctant at this time with them asking to speak on, for example, the illicit 6, which is now illicit 8, and also the Prime Minister's filing not being able to certify. And the reason for that is based on how the IC regulation is configured at the minute, that they can't speak on matters that they are investigating. There is a call for that gag order to be removed at this moment, but it's still there. However, a point that must be noted, Russ Clem, the chairman of the IC said, listen, persons who are under investigation, they can speak. And that's a layer that we're at now, because the country of Jamaica, the people in the main, the majority of us are saying that, listen, PM, talk to us. Tell us what is the situation with your filing, why it can't be certified, because you know you're in communication with the IC, and the IC told you what exactly the position. So you, the PM, can break the silence. The code. Deem the IC unable to speak. The same thing with the former 8-6, now 8. They know who they are. So to say that, listen, they don't know who they are, that is certainly not true. They know who they are, and the country of Jamaica is growing a little bit impatient and saying that, listen, we need to know who this previous illicit 6, now illicit 8, and we need to understand who they are, because they should not be on the ticket going forward to offer themselves for representation, and they should certainly recuse themselves from any committee that they are on, especially if they are members of the committee that is now reviewing the Integrity Commission, because of course you know that there would be a certain bias coming from them. All in all, the Jamaica is at a very perilous state, and with maladministration, malgovernment, and corruption abound.
Wow. unraveling some of the deadly sins in Jamaica, folks. You're listening to the voice of no other than political commentator and radio host over there at Power 93, speaking through to power, Mr.
New Start 93 FM,
speaking through to power, Mr. Conrad R. O'Brien. You know, you're talking about the implicit six, now implicit eight. Mm-hmm. Who are they who don't know who they are? Because I am pretty sure that members of parliament, members of government, members of the media probably know some of these names. But because there is a gag order placed on this, and I wonder why there is a gag order placed on this, because when former President Donald Trump was on the investigation, it came out. It came out mm-hmm. who is on the investigation. When President Joe Biden's son was on the investigation, it came out who was on the investigation. And he was convicted. Current New York City mayor. His places got raided by the FBI. Cell phones and computers and all that stuff was taken away. There's no gag order on these situation. So why is there gag order on these situation? And then just backtrack a little and you talk about the Prime Minister's filing. The Prime Minister's filing, after all this time, you're telling me and you're telling the rest of the world that this has still not been made available for those who it should have been made available to? This is not right. This situation is not right. And that is why we are saying, where is the integrity of the country? You have an integrity commission that has investigated situations in Jamaica, and they have found out within some of these situations that criminal charges should have been filed and it was never filed. And now all of this, Conrad O'Brien, what is really happening in Jamaica? What is really, really happening?
Let me just weigh in on a few things that you said, Rosclem. You cited situation in the United States and so on. Simply because the authority that is invested to deal with those situations, they don't have a gag order placed on them. In our case in Jamaica, which I think is wrong, and we are calling, certainly, myself, other group are taking the call to say, listen, this gag order must be removed forthwith. And we're asking the opposition, the People's National Party, the opposition PNP, to make their voices very, very loud and join in this carrion call for the gag order to be removed so that the Integrity Commission can speak. And we will accept no less. And the PNP has to put their mouth where their money is in making this call. Because if they are timid or coy in calling for the gag order to be removed, then certainly they will come under serious questioning as well. Because it can't be that you have an organization that is supposed to, you know, be the watchdog and to give us updates. And because of this gag, quote-unquote, gag clause, they cannot speak. So that the prime minister, the chief servant situation is 3 years and counting. And all we can hear is that, listen, they talk to me and I give them this and so on. We can't get any form of fulsome discussion. Jeanette Calder, the head of JAMP, she had done a research. I have been doing some checking on some of this as well, but she has done a comprehensive search, and it shows that 150 countries across the globe has the similar integrity commission in their country, and no gag order is placed on them to share information during investigation with their people. Jamaica is the only one of that 150 countries that stand out. And it begs the question, why are we operating under such cloud and so on? Why is it that when a person like myself or the man downtown or wherever is cited that, listen, he is of interest, not charged, but of interest to the police. His name, his picture, everything is parallel over. And you have politicians under the cover now to say, listen, if you put their name out there, then their reputation will be at stake. So are they children of are the people, children of a lesser God? And politicians are of a supreme nature.
Question is though. Here's my question, and I think, ladies and gentlemen, we have now ventured into the 11 o'clock hour. As we continue here on Groovin' Radio, we are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. The conversation I'm having this morning with political commentator and radio host Mr. Conrad R. O'Brien, is Jamaica under a siege? Yeah? Is Jamaica under a siege? We're trying to unravel here some of the dirty sins, yes, as they will put it and call it, of Jamaica. We're talking about the Integrity Commission. We're talking about the Prime Minister's filing. You know, is the Integrity Commission an independent body of government? Because it seems as if, and I don't want to say I'm playing devil's advocate here. I want to know. And I think the world wants to know. The Integrity Commission in Jamaica, headed up by Mr. Christie, is that commission an independent body of government, Mr. O'Brien? Is it?
Yes, indeed. The Integrity Commission is an independent body, right? They are basically funded, of course, by the government of Jamaica. I think they are funded to the tune of about $1.8 billion in order to carry out their job. However, where the rubber hits the road, Rasklem, is that the rules and regulation governs the Integrity Commission has a clause in there that called a gag clause that said, listen, during the investigation of parliamentarian politician, you cannot speak to them. To speak to the public of Jamaica. So we can't know. All we can hear is that X, Y, and Z are certain amount of people are under investigation. We can't get their names. We can't get anything and so on. And that in itself, as I said before, Rasklem, is indeed an anomaly. And it's something that needs to be reviewed. As we speak, there is a review commission that looking at the IC, and certainly the IC itself, they have called for that gag order to be removed. The various group in Jamaica, such as Jamaica for Justice, JAMP, you know, and other civil society group, have joined their voice in and called for the removal of that gag clause. Some of us in media, including myself, I have joined in that call for the removal of the gag clause, because if you have that gag clause there, the question that you have just posed will continue to be asked whether or not this entity is independent, when they are really are, but they are unable to carry out their function and give a timely update to the Jamaican people. And it is indeed untidy.
Yes.
And as they said recently, that the people who are under investigation, they are under no restriction to hold up their hand in the parliament or wherever and say, I am one of the eight that is under investigation. And as a result of that, I am going to do the decent thing, recuse myself from the various committee that I sit on, and so on and so forth.
Right.
It also would remove that cover that the Prime Minister seems to be hiding behind at the moment to say that, listen, he have given this to the Integrity Commission and so on. Integrity Commission cannot speak as to what exactly they are now asking for from the Prime Minister and so during the investigation.
Right.
And it begs the question, is it a wait-and-see attitude that we're seeing being purloined here, where the Prime Minister can keep on doing this as long as possible and the Jamaican people are kept at bay?
Yes.
And I dare say, Rasclem, as a result of that, the distrust in government is fermenting. You just want to check the social media space. We have never seen this level of what you could call calling out and mistrust of any other administration in Jamaica. And to add insult to injury, when the Prime Minister came the other day and talked about what he was prepared to do to social media and so on, he came under further pressure as a result of that.
You know, here's the thing, and I'm looking at a playbook here. I am looking at a playbook here, and the playbook which is used by former President Donald Trump in terms of his playbook in the way the Supreme Court is now set up in the United States, where they can now prolong cases that the former president is involved with, prolong them to see if the former president will become president again. And then everything could be swept under the rug. But here's an easy fix in Jamaica. Here's an easy fix in Jamaica. Is that if you know you have this gag order and you cannot speak when you are investigating, let's say, all politicians in Jamaica, why go public then and say you're investigating politicians? Why go public? Why don't you just keep it a secret? Keep it a secret then. Because if you cannot go, if you cannot talk about it, why take it to the public space and then leave the people, leave the country in suspense and says, who are these six? Who are these seven? Who are these eight? It is unfair for the people of Jamaica to be living under such condition, knowing that there could be criminals in government. There could be, and I'm choosing my words very careful here, folks. I am not saying that there are criminals in government in Jamaica. But based on the fact that you're now hearing that it was six at first, but now you have eight politicians who are under investigation by the Integrity Commission. And if you go outside of that eight politician, you could add a ninth one to it. In terms of Mr. Rural Reed, the former senator and the former principal of Jamaica College, right?
And former minister of education.
You can go and say, it's nine. So we have a serious problem in Jamaica in terms of trustworthiness.
Okay, well, I just wanted to just interject quickly to say, Ross Clem, that, you know, we speak with clarity. We speak truth to power. We are not here seeking to be balanced. Well, certainly I'm not. I am here seeking to put the truth out there and the full information as we have it. So it is incumbent on me, or it would be remiss of me, not to put in the space to remind our listeners that Jefferson Golden, Marky G, the president of the People's National Party and opposition leader, he had canvassed his 22 parliamentarians, that is to include the 14 in the lower house and the 8 in the Senate, the upper house. And they are on paper, they signed to say, listen, none of them on that side is under investigation by way of any communique from the Integrity Commission. On the other side, Mr. Holness and his members have not done so. He said that he has had wide consultation. What that means, that's very vague. While Mr. And again, since the additional two came on the radar just a couple of days ago, Mr. Golden have done that rendezvous, that round robin with his members, and none of them are added by virtue of the additional two.
Right.
The governing Jamaica Labour Party and its leader, Andrew Holness, have not done so. So everybody has deduced from that the eight members are squarely within the governing Jamaica Labour Party, the government of Jamaica.
Wow.
That, and listen, it is important. Mm-hmm. It is important.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Rasklem, under our Westminster style of government, the government is in charge of the purse strings. They spent our taxpayers' money. So it is almost of no moment. We can call and we can say we need the opposition to do this and to do that. But in terms of the spend, the billions or the 1. How many trillion budget that have just been forecast. And so it is the government that has the spend. It is the reason why. Right now, the government say they are offering relief and they are putting it through the member of parliament because they have 48 in the House of Representatives. The PNP has 49, rather. The PNP has 14.
Right.
In my view, that is also something that we should not basically encourage, because we should say, let's go through the local government, the councils, because you have a much wider spread, because it's almost even Steven with councillors out there. But the government is, you know, hell-bent and maintaining an advantage. So they go the route of the member of parliament. We understand what is happening, Rasklem, and that is why it is so important for us to know who are these illicit eight, and we need to have the prime minister filing certified by the Integrity Commission. It's also of moment, Rasklem. It's of moment that this has implication for Jamaica. The prime minister don't act as an independent person like you and I, Rasklem. He wears the name of Jamaica on his chest and on his back when he moved out of this country and elsewhere.
You know, it's kind of getting a little bit troubling. And I listened to a statement you just made in terms of the Jamaica style of governance under the Westminster system, right? And it seems to work in favor of any government that is in power.
Indeed.
So now, not to bring in another conversation with the limited time we have left, but it begs to differ now. The conversation that is on the table in Jamaica about Jamaica becoming a republic, that is now sounding like a joke. And the reason why it's now sounding like a joke is because if Jamaica should become a republic and rid itself of the Westminster system, it means as if governance would have to change. It means as if no government, whether it's the People's National Party or the Jamaica Labour Party, could continue to govern in the manner in which it's governing now. So, do we really believe that Jamaica is going to become a republic, one? And two, if so, what kind of republic? Pay attention, folks. And I say pay attention, close attention to. Because on August 6, 1962, when Jamaica became a political independent country, it is said that at least 80% of Jamaica was illiterate, didn't understand what they were getting into. So the 20% that knew and understood what this was all about is only that 20%. And it seems as if we have continued to keep a certain percentage of the country undereducated, and I don't want to use the S word, but undereducated to the point where some will say that they're stupid. What the heck is going on? What is really?
You know, Rustem, it is rather interesting that you had, you know, somewhat moved the conversation in that direction, and it's quite important because the whole business of a republic, Jamaica become a republic, that is why the widest consultation is needed so that we have the best form of republic and we have the checks and balance take place so that we deal with systems. We put systems in place to guide us so that we have a country that will benefit all. And that is where, again, Ross Clem, the rubber hits the road, where the consultation, the town hall meetings, the church hall meetings, they are not taking place at all. It's almost as if you have a small grouping that is doing these things and rubber stamping it by themselves. And that is why, to date, there is even a stalemate right now, because there is a call for wide consultation. You know, we have things, for example, and we're talking about like the things like the beach access, our people to be able to access every single inch of our beaches, because we are not children of a lesser God. We have seen where that is happening in the Cayman Island, in other parts of the Caribbean. We have to deal with the whole business of land reform. So many things that we have to look at and so on. And if we are not able to be brought, if we are not brought into the conversation and allow these people, a few set of people, i.e. just the politician and more so the government, because the government is even shutting out the opposition, as it were, in terms of being in on this dialogue, apart from maybe two persons that they have sit in a committee. I said before, right now there's a stalemate there.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? And I have to do this. I have to do this at this moment. I am going to have to interject a chronic song into this conversation. Just bear with me for a moment and listen.
Go ahead,
listen to the lyrics from this chronic song. I have to interject this one.
Hello?
I am here, man. Just listen to the tune. Listen to the song.
Sent by the king, watch them wandering when me fly down far. We step on the beast and kick down with him like a slide down bar. We burn in the system, we tell the youths if we fight come far. Uplifting Mrs. Strin, tell us, Selassie, I love Tsar. We don't want it. Babylon the system falling, but this is just the beginning. Beginning of the grand finale. Finale, because eventually we get the call. So if we stand up tall and if we gang up, cause united we stand divided, we fall and we love. Whoa. Walk with the Prince of Peace, Selassie are the leader.
That's right.
Praises be to the kings of kings, Alpha and Omega. Shed on their shoulders, turn from your sinful way, yeah, before lightning strike all over. Well, if I atcha city where your cars man get a youth, then you have the other city fi come give me gun fi shoot. And I chat all you like the city, well this is the ugly truth. When you bring all the guns come give me give it to my recruit. Big revolution, when time the guns them turn for the old politician. Where bring it come in the first place, I should have found education. You make the youth them learn, instead of buy ammunition. And you want come run the next term, go run up under your bed, boy. Put your hand on your head, me terrible and me dread. Corrupted politician feel dead, boy. Want to Coral Garden, don't want to Valley Garden. Come like a free every garden, no revolution, reach every garden. Go put this up in the greener, me want it, reach every reader. If you not live like Haile Selassie, you not fit for big chronics leader. Well, walk with the Prince of Peace, Selassie are the leader.
You know, Conrad O'Brien, the song is called Alpha and Omega by Chronix. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to the lyrics of this Chronix song, it has pointed out some of the things that our politicians have done and what they should be doing. They should be funding education. They should be funding hospitals and road projects. They shouldn't be funding the fact that they're bringing things into the community to destroy the community. And then they turn around and talk about how they have the city locked. Something is wrong here. Something, hold on 1 second. Something is obviously wrong here. And when I took the conversation to Jamaica becoming a republic, I was steering the conversation in the fact that we have a Ministry of Legal Affairs and Constitutional Affairs. And I'm saying that if we have all these things that are set up in Jamaica, like the Integrity Commission, when they're in investigating a politician or two or three or eight, they cannot talk about it. Maybe we need the Ministry of Legal Affairs and Constitution to change it. To change it to the fact that we cannot have any gag order on these situations. Because we need to know now, think about this. And I'm going to give you back the mic. Think about this. If these eight members who are now being investigated, if they're now sitting on committees that can affect and pass changes for education and water and light and infrastructure, healthcare and stuff like that, if they're sitting on some of these panels that make these suggestions and rules, because these are lawmakers. These are lawmakers of the country. And if we can't know if they're capable of doing their job fairly and in a clean and respectful manner, what kind of government do we have? Your time, Conroy.
It comes even a little bit closer. Remember, as I said earlier, that as we speak, there is a review committee that's looking at the IC, the Integrity Commission. The persons who sit on these commissions are parliamentarian. We don't know if out of that eight, there are persons who are sitting on the committee. What we know for sure is that a person like Everard Warmington, who is vehemently against the Integrity Commission, he sits on committee. We don't know if he is one of those persons who is cited and, I'm being careful here. I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying that we know that he sits on committee and there is a review chamber right now that is looking at the IC. Could it be that people who are against the Integrity Commission, who are the Integrity Commission, are now investigating, sitting on that committee? What will they do? Mm-hmm. There's even now, Rasklem, the whole business of the argument, whether it is real or perceived, the argument about Paula Llewellyn remaining as DPP, which is now in the court. in the court and the trust factor, the trust deficit become lower and lower as we open each sentence. Because here what happened now, Rasmus. Let's say the IC now cited some persons that listen, they must be charged and whatever. To include the PM because his filing is not certified. So let's say they find some kind of malfeasance there that the Prime Minister must be charged and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Based on how our system now set up, you know, the DPP can step in those court matter at any material time and shut it down and no question asked, you know. That is what is happening here.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what's happening there. And because the DPP in Jamaica, folks, they have the ultimate prosecutorial power in Jamaica. The DPP in Jamaica, folks, they have the ultimate prosecutorial power. But let me say this to you, Conrad. Let me say this to you. Jamaica can say they're keeping things a secret. Jamaica can say we're not naming these politicians and who they are. But I can tell you that I have six names that I will not reveal. I have six names that
you
I will not
reveal. You don't get that additional two as yet?
I haven't received the additional two, but I was just going to tell you this. Before I'm off the air, I think I am going to get the additional two. And it's going to come to me. But I'm just saying this to show the listening audience that while they're saying that they're not going to name the names of these eight, or they shouldn't name the names of these eight, it is also troubling, folks. And you need to know this. When those names, if and when those names should become public information, I wonder if you know that the Speaker of the House, who is the wife of the Prime Minister, she is going to be the one who have to reveal these names to Parliament. That is a very frightening situation. Mm-hmm. It is frightening because of information that many investigators here in the United States have in their hands. It's a troubling situation. I love Jamaica. As you say, Jamaica is one of the most beautiful, picturesque places in the world. You come to Jamaica and you come to relax. Come for the food. Come for the drinks. Come even for the smoke. Because the smoke in Jamaica is a different kind of smoke than we have here. And it gives you a different feelings. Yeah? So what I'm saying, folks. You see, we need to bring back Jamaica to the middle. We need to bring Jamaica back to the middle, Mr. Conrad O'Brien. We cannot keep drifting far right. I think we have gone too far now. And we have 2 minutes to go. I think we have gone way too far to the right. Folks, we're going to have to find a way to pull Jamaica back to the center. We have to find a way. The next 2 minutes is yours, Conrad.
I just want to say quickly, Ross Clem, and I want to hail her in a big way this morning. Former Prime Minister Portia Simpson-Miller, who have kicked that glass ceiling open and been the first female Prime Minister here in Jamaica, a feat that the United States is still trying to achieve even as we speak. And the reason why I'm mentioning this, Ross Clem, is that with all the talk that you hear coming from Nigel Clark and the government and so on, and would want to give the impression that it's something that he put in place, that this $2.7 billion payout from the Caribbean Catastrophe Fund will be paid out from. Certainly not so. But what he put in place, as you alluded to at the top of the program, Ross Clem, we'll have to have a direct hit, total devastation. This $2.7 billion will be paid out by what? Because of what? The former Prime Minister, the most Honorable Portia Simpson Miller and his and her her finance minister, then finance minister, Dr. Peter Phillips, put in place. So thanks to them. And I'm saying this because we are in a giant up government, and a government, a continuum. So, you know, it follows. But we need truth to be spoken at all time. And when you are woodwinking, trying to woodwink the people and giving the people the impression that it's because of your magical genius, this will be coming through for the people. Not so. And in closing, Ross Klemm, even the fund that the Prime Minister asks people to contribute into from the diaspora and so on, the people of Jamaica are scoffing at it so much because they're saying that, listen, anything goes towards the government of the day at this time. There is a level of suspicion over it, and that come about, that has been intensified even further during the course of this week when we heard of two additional to the illicit six, which now means
you know, I wish I had some more time, but how do you govern like that, though? How do you govern under all these suspicions? And you mentioned Finance Minister Dr. Nigel Clark, and you know, he talk about, you know, oversight and clarity and this, and look at some of the groups, that non-profit groups that he's involved with, and they're not compliance. They're not compliant. You know, it is sad. It is sad. But this conversation, as we always call it, thought-provoking. And I want to thank you so much.
Go ahead. Former Minister of National Security and also Foreign Affairs and Senior King's Counsel, K.D. Knight, he said to get back to a state of gravity, and I'm paraphrasing now, the Prime Minister need to prorogue the Parliament and seek a fresh mandate. If the people so desire to give him a fresh mandate, so be it. But give the people a chance. And I think that's where we are at this time. We know that he has up until September of next year. But based on what is fermenting here on the rock called Jamaica, I support that argument from KD Knight. We need to go to the people sooner than later.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Conrad R. O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen, he is a political commentator and a radio host speaking truth to power once again here on Grooving Radio. Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We definitely have a lot more work to do, and we will continue. But I'm going to share this with you before we go this morning. And I do hope that Generation X down there in Jamaica, I do hope that they're looking towards the future, because they're now saying here in the United States that
remind your listeners how to catch me off.
That Generation X, they're lacking of retirement saving. And if Generation X have no retirement saving, Conrad O'Brien, I don't know what the future is going to look like them, and if you look like for them. And if you're looking to do business here in America and move to somewhere, Conrad R. O'Brien, Alabama is now America's most improved state when it comes to do business in 2024, and it's led by a surging workforce, and cost of living, it's kind of cheap to live there. Conrad R. O'Brien, tell them where to find you during the week. Go ahead,
sir. Season if I'm going to have a talk to you and think about going up to that place. All right. So listeners, you can catch me Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 a.m. That's 9 a.m. Jamaican time. I think it's about 10 your time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Saving time now. To 12 midday here in Jamaica, which will be 1 year time. And on the Dial 93 FM, you can download the new Thought 93 FM app. Catch me. I pride myself as speaking truth to power, no matter who the guy is. So join me coming Monday for the number one fix and Jamaica Radio. Straight up.
Indeed.
Conrad O'Brien, the fireman.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Conrad. Talk to you soon, sir. One love.
Blessings. One love.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end. Yes, we ran over some time of our featured segment, Mic Check, here on Groovin' Radio. Sparking global changes. Jamaica. Is Jamaica under siege? Unraveling some of Jamaica's deadly secret, ladies and gentlemen, with political commentator and radio host, Mr. Conrad O'Brien.